Welcome to the Global Venturing Review podcast. My name's James Mawson, founder and editor-in-chief of our three publications, Global Corporate Venturing, Global Government Venturing, and Global University Venturing. I'm delighted to be back once again with Thierry Hillis. Thierry, editor of Global University Venturing, welcome back.
Hello, hello. It's good to be back after quite a few weeks of leaving you to do this on your own.
I know you've been a bit focused on a bit of holiday, but B, on the Global University Venturing power list. But it sounds like that the research and preparation's going great for that. And I'm really excited by the gala summer dinner on the 8th of November over in Houston. I think there's going to be a really fun, great event. But how are things looking on that side of things, Thierry?
They're looking good. I've been at it for a few weeks now. Quite a few people have sent me a lot of interesting stats. If anyone else out there is a leader of a university venture fund who hasn't emailed me yet, you can contact me at thierry.hillis@globaluniversityventuring.com. Send me your information. I'd love to include you. Obviously, we want this to be a global list and as complete as possible. But yeah, there's quite a few good ones. There's Oxford Sciences Innovation has got back to me. There's people from Sweden, Australia, all over the world already. So should be a really great list and a fun dinner as well, I hope.
Yeah, I'm definitely, we're excited by that for the Be at the Marriott. So in Houston, Texas, 8th and 9th of November. So anyway, on to the past week. What's been happening? What have been the exciting deals that you've seen?
Well, starting with deals, Grab has been on a bit of a tear this last year, raising $2.5 billion from SoftBank, Didi Chuxing, Toyota and Hyundai a year ago, before Toyota invested a further $1 billion in June this year. And that Toyota funding has now been doubled to make a $2 billion round. The new cash coming from backers including Ping An Capital and Mirae Asset Naver Asia Growth Fund. And the round valued the ride-hailing company at $11 billion post-money. And the capital will fuel its further expansion into online-to-offline services.
It's been a phenomenal few years for the sort of ride-hailing and obviously the wider sort of ecosystem around transport, such as scooters and bike hailing, you know, all these companies are really sort of expanding. But it's interesting to see the types of groups investing in Grab, obviously focused on Southeast Asia with Toyota there, but Didi Chuxing, the main China group in terms of car hailing, Hyundai. But Ping An and most of these groups are actually speaking in our GCV Asia Congress on the 20th of September. So we'll probably learn a little bit more there, but this is a great one to really raise the eyebrows.
Yeah, quite a big round to start with this week as well.
Yes, it feels like 2 billion, what's that? Yeah, definitely.
We are actually dropping quite a bit though from here. I say that it's still a lot of money. Elsewhere in the Asian transport sector, smart electric vehicle developer Xiaopeng Motors has pulled in $585 million in a Series B Plus round, co-led by Primavera Capital, Morningside Venture Capital, and company chairman He Xiaopeng. None of the company's corporate investors, which include Alibaba, Fosun, Ucar, and Foxconn, featured in the latest round, which will go towards a commercial launch of the company's first car later this year.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how they expand, but that's a lot of money to be developing a sort of car. I remember chatting to, actually funny enough, I'd just been to a car manufacturer, Morgan's, this week, and you know, talking to them, and they were like, oh yes, you know, when we developed our last car about 10 or so years ago, it cost about £12 million. So yeah, $585 million plus obviously the hundreds of millions they've raised before to get a car on the tracks is impressive. But it's all about the distribution as well as the development.
Yeah, I think some of the money is going towards opening 10 dealerships across China. So that's also obviously going to cost a decent amount of money. But yeah, there should be some left over from those $500 million.
Very good. Anything more? Transport's obviously a buzz phase. What other areas are exciting?
Well, we have Peloton, the operator of a home fitness offering that consists of a custom-made exercise bike and streamed fitness classes, which is taking a big step forward as well. The company last raised funding in a May 2017 round, backed by Comcast NBC Universal, that backed it at $1.25 billion, but it's now looking to close a $550 million Series F round, led by TCV, which has invested $150 million already. We value it at more than $4.1 billion. Peloton told the Wall Street Journal it expects that to be its last funding before an IPO. Although that's being said a lot by companies, so you never know.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I mean, what can you imagine the growth rate must be to get a company effectively, you know, tripled or more in value from 1.25 billion to more than 4 billion in a year. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, eye-watering the stats that they must have. And, you know, obviously TCB are fantastic late-stage growth investors, so they must really believe the stats as well. So interesting to see how they get on.
Yeah, definitely. We are staying in, well, we're going back to Asia, I guess. China Diagnostics Medical Corporation, a medical diagnostics service provider that's been around almost 20 years, has raised approximately $294 million in a round featuring Ping An Ventures. Legend Capital co-led the round, with China Renaissance putting in $100 million in the process.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, given the aging population in China, anything to do with healthcare is fascinating. The fact that Ping An, you know, which has been known as an insurance company, is really hooking in on that healthcare sector, it shows the crossover that's happening. But yeah, massive market, massive opportunity.
Then we have Brandless, which emerged from stealth a year ago, having raised a total of $50 million from investors including GV. And now SoftBank Vision Fund has led a $240 million Series C round that reportedly values the affordable consumer goods provider at just over $500 million. Proceeds from the round, in which GV reinvested, will be used to enhance the company's data science technology and expand both its delivery capabilities and a product range that already numbers more than 300 items.
Be interested to look at a cap table on that basis. If it's valued at just over 500 million and SoftBank's just led a 240 million Series C round, then, you know, then they're going to have a chunky part of that, you know, that company, if not nearing 50%. But it's going to be interesting to see how that leads in terms of what they're doing. But it's, I think there must be a big play if they're taking such a massive stake in brands.
Then we have Zhaoyu Wang, the Chinese operator of a fuel trading platform for businesses, which has received $150 million in a Series C round co-led by GLP and backed by returning investor SIG Asia. The latter has been an investor in the company since early 2016 and joined another corporate, Ho Chu Bang, in the company's August 2017 Series B round.
Yeah, Ho Chu Bang, obviously a sort of B2B car marketplace, and the fact that they're joined in with some of the sort of financial investors to support the fuel trading business just shows the sort of vertical platform play that groups are trying so hard to understand and get an edge on. You can't just be a segment anymore. If you can, you can really sort of move up and down the whole of the value chain. Very interesting.
Then back to healthcare, we have China-based immuno-oncology therapy developer Curon Biopharmaceutical, which has closed a $150 million Series A round that included Six Dimensions Capital, the VC firm co-founded by Wuxi Aptech, and Singaporean government-owned investment firm Temasek, and private equity firm Boyu Capital also contributed to the round.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about China, in fact, having a bit of a slowdown, or certainly concern about whether China, you know, entrepreneurs are inflating the size of the rounds and the valuations they have to try and gain an edge. But, you know, as you look through week by week, it's hard to see there being much of a sort of a winter coming for Chinese sort of venture deals more broadly, or certainly around the sort of values and sort of amounts raised, given what's being reported anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I can't remember the company name now, but I do remember coming across companies before where they filed for an IPO and then it turned out that the $500 million that they raised were $100 million. So there is a bit of suspicion there, but $150 million certainly doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility, not in this day and age anyway.
No, exactly. I'm sure they're aspiring for this one, but you know, in general, there's a lot of talk about whether there's an inflated valuations or inflated round sizes, and actually whether, you know, there's going to be a slowdown in how much VC firms are able to raise and deploy. But certainly it doesn't look like there's any slowdown in those that the corporations are backing. So interesting to see. Cool.
Then we have Medlinker, which is operating a social network for medical professionals and has secured $146 million in a Series D round led by China Capital Zhongkai Fund. The company's earlier backers include Tencent and China Electronics Corporation Data, both of which took part in a $60 million Series C round towards the end of last year.
Being one of those heavy backers, them and Alibaba, of a lot of these later stage or highly valued rounds, as well as some of the early stage deals. So, yeah, interesting to see. Good idea.
Yeah. Then we have Judo Capital, which has closed what is reportedly the second largest ever round for an Australian startup. securing $104 million from investors including Credit Suisse Asset Management. The company has formed an online lending platform targeted at small and medium-sized enterprises and has already applied for the banking license it needs to grow its range of services.
Interesting to see just that real international opportunity here. An Australian fintech startup backed by a Swiss asset management bank just targeting SMEs. It's a wide open world when it comes to innovation.
And then on the university site, we have Appeal Sciences, a US-based food technology developer that emerged out of UC Santa Barbara and has raised $70 million in a Series C round led by hedge fund Viking Global Investors. Appeal is developing a plant-based coating that can be applied to produce in order to delay the aging of fruit and veg by mimicking the natural skin and maintaining moisture while keeping the oxygen out. The company hopes its technology will reduce food waste as shelf life is extended and enable fresh produce to be sold in markets with a limited cold supply chain.
Fascinating deal. And obviously we were super excited to work with the University of California ecosystem through Christine Grohl-Branson. For our Monterey Summit in January this year, they brought some really interesting, exciting entrepreneurs to present in front of the sort of 600-700 corporate attendees with about $6 trillion of aggregate annual revenues and nearly $200 billion of venture assets under management. So it was a great audience, but Appeal and what some of the science and entrepreneurs coming out of the UC system, such as Santa Barbara, are fascinating to see. I really like this. It's a great story.
Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite companies in a while. And there's a lot of interesting stuff happening all the time. So, yeah.
High bar if it gets your attention, Thierry.
Yeah.
So a good few deals there. Anything on the exit side of things? How are we looking in terms of money back in?
There's quite a lot of money coming back in, actually. Cisco has agreed to pay $2.35 billion to acquire user authentication software provider Duo Security 10 months after it raised money at a $1.7 billion valuation. The deal will be chalked down as a win for Workday, which invested as part of that round, but even more so for Alphabet's GV unit, which took part in Duo's 5 million Series A in 2012, before returning for B and C rounds in the next 3 years.
Yeah, I think Cisco was also an investor in Duo, so they had some good insights into the company before deciding to buy it. Actually, it's one of the interesting things. We had Rob Savagna, who's head of Cisco's M&A and corporate venturing unit, speaking Monterey in January, and it was fascinating to see the insights of how many companies they buy, how they think through where they invest, where they sort of acquire, and the insights they get. But they've really been on a tear. And I like this sort of user authentication cybersecurity space because it's an issue. It's rather than what devices come on the system and, you know, therefore they got, how do you sort of constantly test and validate who's on the system and how it works? It's a really cutting edge stuff, actually.
Yeah, it's fascinating business. Then we have Chinese media reports, which first suggested Didi Chuxing was in talks to buy portfolio company Ofo for $1.5 billion early in the week. But then a source told Reuters the terms of the prospective deal had shifted, with Didi set to partner another of Ofo's corporate investors, Ant Financial, on a joint deal that could value the bicycle rental platform at $2 billion. That sounds like a lot of money, but it's actually a sharp fall in valuation for Ofo, which raised $866 million less than 5 months ago in a round that boosted its total funding to $2.2 billion.
Yeah, it's a little bit of consolidation in the bike hailing sector. And as the winners become clear, you know, they're able to scale up and others are starting to work. But, you know, you're seeing this collaboration between scooters, bikes, cars, anything that can help people move. It's a great area. I know Ofo have definitely been one of the success ones. I've just come back from Oxford, as it happens, and Ofo Mobike and Google Pony have definitely tried to sort of expand out from China into the Oxford UK sort of university ecosystem. So you see the bikes everywhere, those three. So there's definitely a consolidation coming, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a market that's ripe for one big player to emerge, really. Then we have Arm, which has agreed to acquire Treasure Data in a deal reported by Bloomberg to be about $600 million in size. Treasure Data is the developer of a real-time management platform for customer data that has raised $53 million in funding, including $25 million in a Series C round in 2016 that included Dentsu and SBI Investments.
Yeah, Arm obviously was acquired by SoftBank a year or so ago, and so the fact that they're still effectively looking to do deals as SoftBank provides the money to help them really expand out. You wouldn't necessarily see an arm do such a big deal without the sort of SoftBank support. So interested to see how they've been able to do this, actually. But interesting deal for them.
Yeah. I think Arm is quite conservative with acquisitions. I remember reading something that their last bigger deal was about $700 million in 2002. Can't remember what the company they acquired now. So they don't seem to have bought that many companies. It'll be interesting to see whether SoftBank's influence will change that over the next few years.
I think so. I think they're definitely saying, you know, Arm's a key component within the ecosystem of MyHSON, and definitely expect to see a bit more for them in terms of activity, more generally in terms of innovation finance.
Then on the university side, we have Datus, a US-based industrial connectivity technology developer assisted by the Purdue Foundry Accelerator, owned by Purdue University, which was acquired by manufacturing automation software provider Plex Systems for an undisclosed amount. Datus sells data aggregation tools to industrial clients to help them monitor disparate information sources associated with the Internet of Things, such as sensors and connected machines. And the company had raised only $1.4 million from unnamed investors in 2016. So whatever the acquisition price, it's probably a win.
Yeah. Well, anything's probably a win from that piece, and a quick win if it's only 2 years since it's come out of founding. Good to hear from Purdue. Anything on the fund side of things, Jerry?
Yes, we have Singapore-based VC firm Golden Gate Ventures, which has achieved a $65 million first close for a $100 million fund with LPs including conglomerate Hanwha and internet company Naver, as well as Temasek. The fund will target startups based in Southeast Asia and is expected to achieve a final close by the end of the year. Currently, Golden Gate has 44 companies in its portfolio.
Yeah, interesting to see. They've been a real sort of expansive success story, Golden Gate. So interesting to see the corporates backing.
Yeah. And then we have a mix of fund and people news, in that Patrick Egan has left Qualcomm Ventures, where he was managing director for North America, to launch a new fund called Counterpart Ventures. He co-founded that with Joe Sejo, who was formerly president and managing director of Recruit Strategic Partners, with both taking partner positions. Counterpart will provide between $2 and $8 million to companies and is stage agnostic. It has not revealed the areas in which it plans to invest, but the co-founder said the investments will have a, quote, emphasis on speed, conviction, and partnership.
Yeah, great to see. I mean, both Patrick and Joe have had great individual track records and doing great units and great firms. So the fact that they've been able to set up the spin-out firm really is successful. I mean, there was an interesting sort of LP survey done recently just about how much interest there is from institutional limited partners and expanding their private equity stroke venture capital practice, and how many more commitments and how interested they were back in new firms, which is quite a change. It's always hard to get a new firm underway, but certainly spin outs with those with good track records find it much easier, and I've seen some really interesting big funds being announced on that basis. So wish Patrick and Joe a lot of luck with this one.
Yeah. And then we have more people news. Statcraft Ventures has hired entrepreneur Amar Alcasar as a venture partner. Alcasar founded cybersecurity startup Syrix in 2005 based on his research at the German Research Center for Artificial Intelligence and sold it to Germany-based peer Rohde & Schwarz in 2015, staying in the CEO position for a further 3 years while it grew.
Yeah, no, interesting. I think, you know, Matthias Diehl, who's head of Statcraft Ventures, is done a great job there and hired a real superstar with Amar. I think it's an interesting approach, and very much if you listen to Amar, he talks about how he didn't actually raise funds himself before he sold his company Syrix, because he couldn't find people who were really going to add value. So I think that's the focus, you know, how do they help the entrepreneurs with more than capital, but with support on their business needs. So yeah, excellent to see.
Interesting. I didn't know much about him, but he sounds like a very interesting guy.
Yeah, no, very impressive. Very impressive. AI, you know, AI 15 odd years ago was a pretty niche field. And so, smart bunny.
And finally, we have Evan Facker, who has been named Vice Chancellor for Innovation and Entrepreneurship at University of Pittsburgh and Director of its Innovation Institute. He'd actually been serving as interim director since August 2017 after joining the Innovation Institute in 2014. Pitt set a new record for spin-outs this past financial year, with 23 new companies and reached new heights for invention disclosures submitted, 363, and options and licenses executed during the past year, 162. So it's arguably no surprise they selected the man in charge already to stick around permanently, despite a nationwide search for a replacement.
Pittsburgh's really interesting ecosystem. They've got obviously Carnegie Mellon up there, and so it's a great ecosystem, and it's one of those sorts of heartland type cities which probably has gone through some tough periods, but through innovation and entrepreneurship has really bouncing back. There was a really nice piece by Paul Graham, who was one of the co-founders for Y Combinator, going back to his hometown, giving a speech about why Pittsburgh should do well, what it needed to do. I highly recommend it. If you ever want to know about ecosystem development, read Paul's speech. He's a smart guy, actually. But great for Evan, and I think great for University of Pittsburgh. So be interesting to see from them and others at the Global University Venture and Fusion element at the Houston conference on November 8th and 9th.
Should be a fantastic event.
Well, brilliant. Thanks, Thierry. Sounds like it's been another strong week, and keeping you busy during the summer as well. So appreciate your time, everyone, and don't hesitate, listeners, to get in touch with us over the next few days.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure being back. I hope I can join again next week. Bye.
Global Venturing Review was produced by In Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.